Wake up, wake up, wake up.
It's time to go to school. Your mom and dad won't let you be a fool.
Wake up, wake up, wake up.
It's fun to get up early in the morning.
Welcome to the second hour of Everyday Leadership, where we make work, work. Once again, here's your host, Dan Mulhern.
Now, wake up. The fog is lifting. I've been up for a couple hours. It was really foggy this morning. You don't usually see fog this late in the year, and I still don't remember what it's about. Something about, I don't know, the air and the Earth's temperature are strikingly different, and somehow condensation appears out of that. Can't figure that out. Hey, today's the big chill. You're going to be heading to Ann Arbor? Won't quite be chilly enough. Well, I guess that's a good thing, but it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing because you can't park on the golf course and a lot of other soft surfaces you can usually park at for football games. It's just going to be too wet and soggy. Good news for fans is it's about 20 degrees in Ann Arbor right now. It's going to get up to 40. Not so bad if you got to sit and watch a hockey game. I get cold at football games late in the autumn, let alone hockey games. Spartans hoping to heat it up with their young team and put some pressure on the Wolverines. What a treat for those guys to play outside. You know, it's got to make them feel like a kid again. Although many of these kids, I don't know if they ever did play outside. Way back when I was growing up, yep, that's what we did. We skated on ponds and they were bumpy, or, you know, your teeth would shatter if it had kind of snowed on the top and you try to scrape the ice off. But I don't know, of all the outdoor sports, I have the fondest memories of playing hockey or just skating on natural ponds or on somebody's flooded backyards. Well, we're talking about work conditions today, and not about hockey so much, but about ergonomics. That's what the field is called, and I'm counting on you this hour to continue to educate your fellow listeners and me on making work work at really the most basic level. They call it ergonomics. It's really about safety and comfort and efficiency and productivity at work. And if you've been listening to the first hour, incredible guests, maybe it's already kicked some ideas around in your head that you'd like to share with me, or maybe some of the questions I'll share with you will prompt your thoughts on how to really make work work and what's worked for you at work. So let me give you the phone number. You can scribble it down so that when you're ready, when the idea hits you, you have it there. I hate that when you know, somebody says the number and then they start talking on the show about things and I'm thinking, I want to talk about that. I want to call in. And then I don't have the number. Here's the number, 888-900-9966. Again, it's 888-900-9966. And feel free to share how your workplace or a workplace you've been in has either not worked for you, or ways you or your employer make it work, things that you do to really make the basic environment at work something that works for you. We're going to kick it off in a minute with our man on the street interviews. Tony, I think you got those. We're just going to run the first couple questions because they were best. We asked, and this is a question I'd love to hear your thoughts on, what, if anything, does your employer do to make your workplace and workspace safe and comfortable? And Tony, if you've got that one there, you can hit that one for me. That would be great.
I mean, to be honest, most of the time, you know, my job is inside. I'm editing or shooting, you know, video. I would say, I mean, they definitely have some regulations as far as when you drive. They have a set of guidelines and rules if you ever drive one of their vehicles. Whenever you're moving equipment, they always make sure that you have, you know, no open-toed shoes, just basic safety stuff like that. In the office, most of the time, I mean, it's a comfortable area. They have ergonomic chairs. They have, you know, it's always air-conditioned. So it's a real comfortable place to work, and, I mean, not a place I really see a lot of safety hazards.
Sometimes people would be, like, irritated or angry when they came into Michigan Works for different reasons, and in order to make sure everybody was safe, they would ask that person to sit down and wait until their certain case manager would come out and deal with them. Otherwise, it might have been unsafe if they were allowed to just walk back there and find their case manager to talk to them. They always made sure nobody went past the desk without permission.
Well, since I work down at the Lansing City Pulse newspaper, there isn't a whole lot of manual labor or anything like that, but they do try and make it comfortable. They make sure, you know, interns have their own desks, and considering it's a very small newspaper company, they make sure that we have our own space, we have our own desk, we can talk about any problems directly to our boss. And everyone kind of works at the same level despite the hierarchy and everything. It doesn't really seem like that. So that's where, I guess, things feel comfortable.
Yeah, interesting. They're taking it from, you know, the physical and issues of safety to the more intangibles, but incredibly important ones, like working at the same level with everyone despite their pay or title. Cool stuff. How about you? What's been the best place where you've ever worked? There are some really, really cool offices. If you want to check out some cool, best of kind of places to work, just do a little search on Seriously Cool Workplaces, and you'll see some really cool ones that come up. And I thought we'd just play a little game here that I'd be happy to give a signed book to somebody who can guess what you'll find in the Red Bull office in London. I don't mind if you cheat. You can surf if you want. But it's on this website with these Seriously Cool Workplaces. And guess what they have in a Red Bull office in London. And I'll give you a signed copy of my book. Interestingly, this website, Serious Cool Workplaces, or an article called Seriously Cool Workplaces, also features Michigan's own Menlo Innovations. It's an Ann Arbor company. We've had Rich Sheridan on the air once or twice. And one of the pictures of Menlo in this really interesting series of cool workplaces where you'd either love or hate to work. I mean, you might not like some of these places, but there's a shot of two young computer software guys. That's what they do at Menlo, is they write software for companies and organizations. And they're standing at a flip chart. You know, no big deal. People stand at flip charts like they're doing some kind of brainstorming thing, markers in hand and whatnot. Okay, nothing special about that. What's special is where they are. They're standing on the street in Ann Arbor on a nice day, and they're just working on the street, which is so quite literally out of the box, and of course figuratively out of the box. But all of us who've had that feeling in grade school, high school, or college, when the teacher in the late spring in Michigan said, "Come on, we're going to go outside and sit under a tree," and that incredible sense of freedom of mind. A little bit of distraction came with it for me. I don't know about you, but the freedom of mind to be in an open space is really such a cool thing. So what do you think Red Bull has in their office that's incredibly unique? My wife, when she saw this picture, said, yeah, we got to get one of those in our cottage. We're looking for a cottage, really kind of a year-round place. So anybody knows something like, we're thinking kind of Indian Lakes or out toward Jackson, you know, Gull Lake, Gun Lake, Pine Lake, Fine Lake. Anybody knows a good spot, let us know. Here's another hint on what you'll find at the Red Bull office in London. You can find it at Cedar Point, a larger version of it, but very cool. So give me a call, 888-900-9966 if you think what you know what they have in the Red Bull office. Again, the phone number is 888-900-9966. I'm curious, does anybody have a steel case walk station? I don't know if you heard the interview with Kevin Butler earlier today, but Steel Case, a great Michigan company, has this thing called a walk station, and it's basically a treadmill at a desk, and so you can walk on the treadmill. It has a place for your computer or your desk. It can be elevated or de-elevated to get you to the right level you want. But I'd love to hear from somebody who has one. And Kevin was saying they're about $2,000. I wonder if it works. I wonder if you can work. I told Kevin I want to do a show from Steelcase and see if I can do the show on the treadmill, because I think that would be really cool. But I'm curious if anybody's ever seen one or had one. Can you work? And on the other hand, do you feel like you're getting exercise? And of course, the most important thing, can you do both? can you work and get exercise at the same time? I mean, I'm one of those guys who sweats when the temperature flies above to 69 to about 70 degrees, you know, then I start to sweat. I don't know if I'd want to be sweaty at work, but I would love to try one of those things. What do you love about your job and about the place you're at from a physical and a cultural standpoint? What was the best office that you ever had? I'd love to hear about it. 888-900-9966. I know I'm going to really miss my view of the Capitol. I happen to have an office a couple levels above my wife that I used when I was very active recruiting mentors and working on workplace issues for the state government and helping to build Michigan's next great companies. That was really, a room with a view is a very cool thing. I'll tell you what I'm not going to miss, a building heating system that required me to call maintenance every time the heat was too high or it was too cold. You know, I couldn't adjust my own heating. I know you have to have efficiencies and we got to watch those state government pennies, but it was kind of irksome that you couldn't just change the temperature level in your own office. I'm not going to miss that. What works for you and maybe what doesn't work? What makes for a bad place? We're talking about ergonomics and how to make work work. Maybe you have some thoughts on what's really worked well for you. Earlene from Bath is with us, but we're going to hang on, Earlene, if you can, and we'll pick you up after the break. We got a break coming. Love to hear what's the best office you've ever had and why, or what makes a great office for you? What are the elements that matter? Is it sound? Is it light? Is it open space? Would you prefer a cubicle with high walls or with small walls or with no walls at all? We're talking about how to make work work in the most basic way on the Everyday Leadership Show. One more time with the phone number, then we're back after a break. It's 888-900-9966. Give me a holler. Love to hear from you. Frank, what can you do?
The one who loves you only.
Yeah.
I can be so warm and tender. Call me. Don't be afraid. You can call me.
You tell him, Frank.
Maybe it's late, but just.
It's the Everyday Leadership Show, and it's your chance to weigh in. We're talking about ergonomics, such a weird word, but it's really about. Your work setup, about it being safe and efficient and productive. We're talking about the things and the stuff that affects the atmosphere and makes it work for you or doesn't make it work for you. I'd love to hear your thoughts on great workplaces from a physical sort of standpoint. What really works for you? Is it light or music or, you know, what helps to make it work? Jennifer and I are going to have a home office. We're going to be working in the same place for a while and, you know, maybe you have some lessons for us on things you've done well that you would highly recommend or mistakes perhaps you've made. We have made a few of those in our home office in the governor's residence that we're not going to repeat. But I'd love to hear your thoughts. 888-900-9966. I'm also giving away a copy of my book. If somebody finds out what they have in the Red Bull office in London, which makes it an incredibly cool and weird place to work, what's the feature that they have there? I'll give you a signed copy of my book you can pick up here at the station. 888-900-9966. Eveline from Bath has been so patient to wait for us. Eveline, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Okay, I have a few different things. I'll end up with an eye exercise that helps people at the computer. But
oh, great.
One thing that I've really appreciated in the workplace is a few places I've worked at, they've had showers.
Huh.
So if you bike into work, you can actually get cleaned up and
right.
and then changed. And if you have some place to go after work, you can get changed also.
Uh-huh.
So that's been just a really great thing.
Right.
I used to work in the old Sports Illustrated Racquetball Club building after they changed into offices, and they even had sauna and locker rooms there, which was just and a hot tub. That
awesome.
Was really awesome.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, but anyways, and the eye exercise thing. Oh, and the other thing is when I worked there, it was when Massage Therapy Associates was there, and I worked in that office, and the owner of that business always made sure that the areas where people had to sit at a desk had full spectrum lighting rather than regular fluorescent lighting.
Oh, cool.
And I thought that was very thoughtful of her.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, okay, and the eye exercise.
Yeah, eye exercise. Tell us, what should we do?
The eye exercise thing is, I used to teach natural vision improvement, and if you have poor eyesight, like if you're nearsighted, if you stop every now and then and look for 1 minute at a red surface and then 10 seconds at a blue surface and then return again for 1 minute to a red surface, you can relax your eyes and see better. And if you're farsighted, you reverse that and you have 1 minute at a blue surface, 10 seconds at a red surface, and then 1 minute at a blue surface again. And then when you're sitting at the computer, especially if you sit at the computer a long time,
mm-hmm.
stop every half hour or so and use your eyes to look near and far and to say, follow the lines around the room, anything that moves your eyes in different directions.
I'm doing it right now.
Your eyes move in a clockwise and counterclockwise motion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, cool.
And breathe as you do that. Don't hold your breath.
Breathe. That's always good to keep breathing. Hey, Evelyn, thanks for the observations and the good advice to us. Move your eyes around, kind of check out different things. And 1 minute red, 10 seconds blue, 1 minute red, unless you're farsighted, then you switch to the opposite.
Reverse. Yeah, 1 minute red, 10 seconds blue, and 1 minute red again on the surfaces. And you can, in my office, I have, I bought some of that foam board that has color on it.
Mm-hmm.
One has red and the other has blue.
Huh, interesting.
And then I've recommended for people who don't have bigger spaces, like I just put that on a door and I just kept the whole board there. But you can just have, you know, the size of a notebook or something like that, of that
right,
kind of
right,
thing.
Right.
To just have near, to just look up to, and or just take out from next to your computer and look at it.
Very good. Thanks so much for the call. Evelyn from Bath with some really good suggestions and some things that made work for her, having a shower in the building. For a guy like me, that's almost absolutely necessary. I can't pedal to work and be hospitable to people. Nobody will want to be around me. Okay, that's TMI. We're talking about workplaces and how to make them work in an ergonomic sort of way. What's been your best workplace ever or your worst workplace ever? What really contributes to your well-being at work? And if you have some great tips like Evelyn had on dealing with your eyes when you're staring at a computer screen all day, love to hear those too. 888-900-9966. We're still trying to figure out too what they have in the Red Bull office in London that makes it a very cool place to work. George from East Lansing has joined us on the air. George, good morning. Welcome to the Everyday Leadership Show.
Good morning. How are you this wonderful morning?
Doing great. How about you?
Good, really good.
Good.
I was listening to your radio show here, and you were looking for an answer about, over in London, about Red Bull Company and what's unique and what type of objects they have.
That's, right.
Caught everybody's attention. Pretty much Red Bull, they have a Formula One racing team, and what they've done over a period of years is pulled apart a lot of these damaged Formula One racing cars and took these auto parts from these race cars and created unusual art objects, and they have over 13 of these exclusive designs, such as standing floor lamps, made of polished exhaust systems, elegant coasters made from gearbox rings, pretty much unique things, oiled wallet presentation box that was made of mirrors from the race cars. So basically, I think that's the answer you were looking for.
You know what? That is not the answer, George. But I'm gonna I'm gonna make a book available for you because you educated us, and I didn't know that. But there's still something else out there that's even wilder than using their race cars. So hang on the line with Tony, and he will grab your information and let you know how you can grab a signed copy of my book. Meanwhile, I'm still looking for the answer. 888-900-9966. What do they have in the Red Bull Bull office in London. Google on seriously cool workplaces, and I think you'll find it pretty easily. And it's just a total crack-up. I think it's just so funny. Well, what works for you at work besides this wild thing that they have at Red Bull? I'll tell you, one thing that a boss can do is just be thoughtful. And this is Christmas time, you know? So, yeah, you can get them a gift card to Qdoba or whatever floats their boat. But one great thing to do is just pay attention to people's work patterns and what might be valuable for them. What do they keep on their desk and what seems to be important to them? You know, if they listen to music, get them an iTunes thing. If they like a certain kind of lighting, do that. I had a boss when I was doing development, the president of this institution at the great University of Detroit High School, where I was the chief fundraiser, alumni director, and bottle washer. One day he walked in and he gave me a box and he said, "I thought this would make your life easier." And I opened it up. It was kind of the size of a big game like Cranium or one of those games. And inside was a cordless headset. And it was the greatest thing in the world because I spent a ton of time on the phone talking to potential donors. And I was also trying to take notes all the time. I knew I wouldn't be at that job forever. And I knew people would want to know things. You know, this guy wants to support scholarships. This guy's interested in athletic programs. And I'll tell you, I loved that headset. The other thing it did is it freed me from the doggone chair. There's no reason you can't talk on the phone and walk around the house, you know, or walk around your office. And if you're a person who's married to somebody or you got a best friend who spends a lot of time on the phone and they have to, really, think about getting him a headset for Christmas. It was an extraordinary gift. This guy also did a really cool thing, which was I had these dry erase calendars, you know, that showed the whole year because we had a lot of events that we were managing. And he had the school carpenter come in and just build this really nice little trim, kind of like a, what do they call it, a chair molding, you know, that protects the wall when chairs lean back. Well, he took a couple strips of molding and we put the calendars up and it looked great. And it was almost like art in the office. How about you? What's worked for you? Here's another two great ones. My business partner, M.A. Hastings, when we moved into our office in downtown Detroit, she said, "Muller, we got this great thing. There's this paint out there and you use this black paint. We're going to paint a wall black." I'm like, "M.A., why would we paint a wall black? I mean, seriously, who wants a black wall?" She said, "No, it's a chalkboard. It's a special paint. I think it was made by Crayola. You paint the wall a couple layers, and it has the texture and the usefulness of a blackboard." So we had this blackboard wall that was 13 feet high in an old warehouse building and 12 feet long, and we could write to our heart's content with chalk and then just a wet rag and wipe it off. Found something even better in the last year, and that's this product by 3M, which is a whiteboard paint. So it's just it's just like regular paint, and you apply it like paint, and presto changeo, your wall, as big as you want it to be, I suppose you could do a whole room this way, becomes like a dry erase board. And so you can write on it and wipe it right off with a dry erase eraser. I love that in part because it allows me to get my thoughts out of my head, but equally, probably much more important, it allows us not only to hear ideas with each other, but to see them. And a lot of times, it's hard to keep track of 10, 12 ideas in a meeting. But when you can see them, you can return to them, you can move them around, and a whiteboard makes that so easy. I love that. What works for you? 888-900-9966. Again, 888-900-9966. What are the most important elements at work for you? I'm going to give you my top five when I come back, what's most important. But I think it's worthwhile. Maybe take out a pen or a piece of paper and or maybe you're on some kind of fancy device today and ask yourself what really matters to make work work. You know, you got a new year rolling around. What is it that you could do to your environment that really matters, that helps you? And if you're a manager, certainly that helps other people so that they come into your space and it's a good space. It's a workspace that's comfortable, safe, protective, productive. What could you do for their space? I'll tell you my list when we come back, but I'd love to hear yours. What is it that makes work work for you? Our phone number is 888-900-9966, 888 800-900-9966. Still looking for that feature in the Red Bull office in London. What makes it a really cool place? A free book to somebody who comes up with the correct answer, or even just a really good answer. It's the Everyday Leadership Show on the Michigan Talk Network.
This is Everyday Leadership, and here's your host, Dan Mulhern.
A little snippet of Paul Simon's new single.
In the days I work my day job, in the nights I work my night, but it all comes down to working man's pay. Getting ready, I'm getting ready, ready for Christmas Day.
Yeah, Paul Simon, Get Ready for Christmas Day. It's a very fun song, and it's a working person song. You know, things have gotten tough for the middle class. And I don't get into a lot of politics on the show, but I'm going to allow myself 30 seconds to say, shame on the Republicans. Shame, shame, shame on the Republicans for extorting the president. My wife and I have a little division about it. She thinks the president is right to cut a deal and give tax cuts, tax breaks, extend the tax breaks even to the millionaires. I say that's crazy. How can we do that with this deficit? So maybe you want to call and holler at me about that. That's just fine with me. But, you know, I hope to be a millionaire one day. It's never been important to my wife and I. We're in our early 50s, and we've tried to serve. And maybe we'll get a chance to make a little bit of money in this stage of our life, maybe have a cottage or something like that. Somebody know a good one we could find on Fine Lake, Pine Lake, Crooked Lake, somewhere out there? Let me know. Love to hear. Hit me up on Facebook. But, you know, I'd like to make a little bit of money. And, you know what? The difference between being at $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 and being at $200,000 or so, which once in a while Jennifer and I got our nose above $200,000, it's an extraordinary difference in life. And there is so much more ability to pay when you're at a higher level. And anyway, enough politics. We're talking about workplaces and how to make them great. If you want to talk about politics, you can call in about that too. 888-900-9966. But what makes a great office? You know, what really makes it awesome for you, and what gets in the way? Elaine has called from Lansing, and we'll talk to Elaine, and then I'll share with you my top five. See if it compares to your own. Elaine, good morning. Welcome to the Everyday Leadership Show.
Hello. Thank you.
You're welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Good, good. Do you have the answer to my trivia question on Red Bull and what's in the office, or what's?
Yeah, I know they have a big carbon slide.
They have a big slide.
An area, 3 floors, it says, up to Escapade for employees with all kinds of things to do that are out of the ordinary.
Yeah. I mean, it so fits their image, right? Because they're this energy drink. But they've got this slide.
Yeah.
They've got this white slide, as you said. It looks like it could have been an escalator at one point. But I think it'd be the coolest thing in the world, you know? I got a meeting down on 2. I'll meet you at the bottom of the slide. It's too funny. Too funny. Hey, Elaine, what makes a great office for you or a great work setting? Is there anything that you just got to have and that really makes it work besides, of course, a nice fine carbon slide to get from floor 2 to floor 1?
I think the idea of having a place, first of all, to work out. I work for the state, and our office moved from downtown to the Mercantile, and we don't have any place to walk now in the winter.
Huh.
We used to be able to walk down in the downstairs down
on the river walk.
The floor where the garages are.
Oh, right.
In between buildings, we could walk, but now we have no place indoors.
Hmm.
Our building's too small.
Another,
and the other thing would be someplace that if I did decide to bike to work, I could change, like that other caller said.
Right.
I could, you know, get out of being sweaty. You know, right. That's what makes me reluctant to even try.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see if we can work on that for you. Hey, meanwhile, stay on the line, and the great Tony Cuthbert will share with you how you can pick up a signed copy of my book. I look forward to signing one for you. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, we're talking about great workplaces, and Red Bull's got a slide in their place. That's pretty cool. But what matters to you at work? What elements matter? What things, you know, what stuff in your environment? Here's my top five list. Number one, people to engage with is really important to me. And I'll tell you, I worked in the old Wayne County building, one of my 1,000 jobs in life, couldn't hold a job. And it was this beautiful historic building. The building is about 150 years old, I believe now. And they did a wonderful job of restoring it. The problem was they were courtrooms, and so they were big rooms. So there was this crazy pecking order. So the county executive, Mr. McNamara, had a room. You couldn't just putt in his office. You could hit a chip shot. The office was so big. And so then what they did with other big areas is they had either a big office or you had cubicles, because they didn't want to destroy these gorgeous ceilings and create offices. And you couldn't have walls that went up 25 feet and have a, you know, 20 square foot office. That didn't make sense. So we were in cubicles, and then there was like a pecking order, because like at the lowest level, you were wide open, everybody could see you. And then at the next level, you had like 6 or 7 foot walls, or no, 5 foot walls, and you could at least duck under so people couldn't see you. And then when you really moved up, you'd have a cubicle where the walls went up like 8 feet, and they were acoustically really good. But you know what I liked the best? I liked the lowest level cubicle. It was really fun. It happens that I worked with a guy who is now a congressman, Hanson Clark. He and I were lower level legal peons, and he was always a riot to work with. But I enjoyed that camaraderie. That's number one for me. What's the top of your list? 888-900-9966. What matters in the ergonomics of your life to make work work? Be right back.
Is Everyday Leadership, and here's your host, Dan Mulhern.
Hey, welcome back to the Everyday Leadership Show. It's the work in life, baby. I don't know, man. I'm such a Springsteen addict. It's hard for me to talk. I'm like, I don't want to interrupt the guy, and nobody sings about work in life and the factory life any better than Bruce Springsteen did. He's my idol. You know, I was talking, we had a little trivia contest if you just joined us on the show, and I was, we're talking about ergonomics. I was asking people, what do you think they have in the Red Bull office in London that makes it a wild place ergonomically to work? And as Elaine, who just called in the last segment, said, they've got a slide, and you can slide, you know, like a kid's slide, right? You can slide from one floor to the next. It's sort of like an escalator. I suppose it works faster than an escalator, too. Who doesn't love a slide? But Blaine Cressman wrote on my Facebook site that, you know, there's a sliding board employees can use to go from floor to floor. You were right, Blaine. But he adds, but that doesn't make up for the way Red Bull treats its employees. They're in the news this week for having fired one of their employees via fax. No meeting, no letter, no phone call. Bummer. That's really a bummer. So I take back all the free publicity I gave to Red Bull and say, hey, what do you tune to your employees? We're talking about ergonomics and what works, what makes work work for you. I was talking about how for me it's people, and that I actually would prefer being in a cubicle. And here's the rest of my top five. But before I give you my top five, I'll give you my phone number and you can call and share what's really important to you. Or maybe you've done something really great. I'm still looking for advice on the home office. Anybody who's done great home office stuff, Jennifer and I are, as Ross Perot would say, all ears. So let us know what works. Here's what I love. Number one, people. Number two, light. I just got to have it. I can't be in a closed box. And I wouldn't take a job that put me in a windowless room. Just can't do that. Number three, I need access to clean, quiet space. So we've got a little a condo we're going to move into, and it's got a landing between the first and second floor and a window. And we're going to put just this really cute little writing desk that I bought at a secondhand store 10 years ago. We're going to put it there. And the rule is nothing can be on the top of the desk. I'm a little bit ADD, and when I really need to focus, I need to have nothing around, because if I see something, I will, oh, look at that picture. I will chase that bird. I have a slideshow that I love that plays all the time on my computer. It's a great little gadget from Google, of course, the Google sidebar. And so all day long I see pictures of my kids and of whatever, you know, scenery, photos from my own computer. I love seeing them, but they're totally distracting. I need a quiet place. Number four, I need to be able to listen to music. I just love music, and it really helps me. It does something to my mind that I think helps me to be more productive. And I think every employee ought to be able to listen to music at work, not in a way that disrupts other people. You got to figure out how to do that, but it's so important. And the last is, I was saying, whiteboard space. I need to be able to put ideas up and share them with people and have people brainstorm and see what's possible. What works for you? What do you really love having at work? 888-900-9966. We've had votes for a shower, or better yet, even a workout facility that includes a sauna. What a great thing. But to be able to shower, so if you drove into work, or, I mean, if you rode your bike into work, or you walked into work, or you want to walk at lunchtime or take a break to stimulate your energy, you wouldn't have to worry about being sweaty and stinky. What works for you? 888-900-9966. Or you can always do what Blaine did and write on my Facebook wall. I try to give it a peek when I'm in here in the office and see what's going on. Dan Mulhern 1 is a good way to find me. You can find me there, or Daniel G. Mulhern. What do you think works? There was a friend of mine, Dale Jurison. He had chronic back problems, and he had a lectern in his office. You know, he had like a stand-up desk, like an engineer's desk. And he said he worked better standing up, and he thought better, and it was better for his back. That's not good for my back. I don't know about yours. I had a friend in law school, Jeff Barber, and Jeff, when he was studying, would turn on his TV and turn it to channel 11, which in Boston was no channel, and he would have white static on the screen and the noise of white static, and he swore that it made him a better student and that he could focus more on the arcane law that we were learning. I never got that. But neither did I get the huge pyramid of Budweiser cans he had in his room. But, you know, to each his own, to each her moan, I guess. The other thing that I think is hugely important in work, and I'm going to end on this note today, is walking, is moving around. I did a couple of interviews this week as end of the second term with my wife, and I really wasn't very good at the first one. And at the second one, a friend of mine made me stand up before I went in. She made me stand up, wave my arm. She made me put my hands over my head, and I kept wanting to stop. She said, no, keep moving, keep moving. And afterwards, she said, you know, that was a great interview you did, and it was all about energy. So this is a tough season. And what I would say is move around. You know, people are tired. The days are getting shorter and shorter. There's too much to do. But move around. Energize yourself, because it's one of the essential currencies of leadership, whether dealing with your kids or your aging parents. Move around and lead with your best self. Even if we're just dancing in-